I just want to say that it is an honor and a privilege to be up here in front of you. I thank my pastors for allowing me the opportunity to speak. And like I said, it is a privilege, but it doesn't mean that I'm privileged. It just means that, you know, don't think that just because someone up here is up here in front of you that they have it all together and they have all the answers, because I can remove all doubt for you that I don't have it all together, and I definitely don't have all of the answers. But it takes a lot of pressure off me, because now I know that I don't have to have all the answers, and I don't have to have it all together for God to use me. But what I do have, I feel like I have a God-inspired word with the Word of God applied to it. And the hope is that it'll be a word for somebody in the season that they're in right now. You know, up here we can't give you the specific answers to your questions, and we can't give you the specific steps to, you know, to get from A to B to C, to get to your miracle, to get to your answer that you're looking for. But I don't think that's what this platform is for. I think this platform is to point you in the direction, to get you going in the process, get you to A, you know, to help you to get to that point where you start the process, or to get you, while you're in the process, going from B to C until you get to that answer and you get to that testimony, you know, just giving you encouragement to keep on going, not to stop, not to give up, but just keep on going, and until you get that testimony from God. And you know, you really can't take someone else's testimony and make it yours. You know, you can't say that he did A, B, C, and D, and he got his reward, he got his answer, he got his miracle. You can't go out and try to duplicate that, you know, because it doesn't work like that, really. I mean, you don't have to recreate that to get your miracle. I mean, we don't have to go out and find the sermon that Brother Jerry was listening to from Billy Graham, and find the house that he was listening to it in, and go and pray to have that life-changing experience that we need. You know, you don't have to do that. You know, the Word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony is what gets us through. Our testimony is what gets us over. And it helps us to, it reminds us of what God did for us and how we overcame those things. And, you know, it's not someone else's testimony that gets us over. It's someone else's testimony, maybe, that helps you to be encouraged to know that you can overcome and that you can get through it. So, and you can't really take my word for it either. Not that I'm going to lie to you, but you need to always proof out what you hear, you know, and not just take it on someone's word, but proof it out with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You look at the woman at the well. She had a conversation with Jesus. She believed in Jesus, and then she went out and she spread to the people about Jesus, and they believed. But it wasn't because of her. You know, she just led them to it, but they had to see for themselves and they had to believe for themselves. She just led them there and she helped them to believe, you know. The point of all this is just to say that, you know, if you need answers, if you need a miracle, and you need those things, you're in the right place. And like I said, this platform is just a place really to help you to get started in the process and to help you, to encourage you to go through the process and not quit. You know, I can't give you the answers, but I can point you to the God that has all the answers. And, you know, your miracle and your testimony, it depends completely and totally on God, as you depend completely and totally on God. So, anyway, this is Sunday night crowd, I know, so all y'all know that. So we'll get into the Word now. And I don't have a Bible up here because I reached that magical age that your arms don't get long enough or something, because you can't start. You get to where you can't read that small text. So I have it all printed out here. So just let you know, it is from the Bible. And hopefully I didn't print it out too small that I can't see it. But all right, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. Starting with verse 12 and 14. This is, be familiar to you if you were in service this morning. It says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk and not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that the word of my mouth, meditation of my heart, God, will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my rock, God. And I lean on you, God, and know, God, that you are in control. In Jesus' name. Thank you. All right. In verse 12, it says, in fact, though by this time, you ought to be teachers. It says you ought to be teachers by now. And I just want to know, have you ever felt like you ought to be farther along than what you are? Have you ever felt like that you ought to be doing this or you ought to be doing that, but you're not? You're not. I don't know why I did that. I'm sorry. You know, you ought to be growing and you ought to be maturing into what God has called you to be, but when you look around, you really don't see the evidence in your life that you're progressing, that you're growing, and that you're maturing. You know, and whenever you say you ought, it kind of sounds like you have a sense of entitlement. Like, you know, I ought to because I've done this, this, and this, and now I should get it, or I should be where I'm supposed to be. You know, I ought to. I feel entitled to do it. You know, I've taken all the steps. I've been through the classes. I fast. I pray. I'm a pretty good guy. I don't kick puppies, and I'm awesome. So why is it that my ought is my not? Why am I not where my ought should be? I'm confusing myself. I'm sorry. All right. It's easy in the times when you think that you ought and feel like you're not, that the devil is going to slip in and give his opinions on why you are not. You know, the devil's going to always gladly give you his opinion on why you're not growing and why you're not maturing and why you're not progressing. And a lot of times his opinion is that it's everybody else's fault. You know, it's not your fault. I mean, they don't appreciate you. You know, they don't like you. They're leaving you out. They're holding you back. They're holding you back, you know, and they don't even need you around. They act like you, they leave you. And they just don't have any use for you. And you probably should just leave and go away and do something else where people will appreciate you. Or, you know, you should give somebody the cold shoulder because it's going to show them. You know, that's really going to let them know that you mean business whenever you do that. Or he's going to do the opposite. And instead of him putting blame on somebody else, he's going to tell you how sorry and how useless you are. And he'll tell you that, you know, you're never going to be good enough. You're not smart enough, and you're going to be a failure, and you always will be. And if you listen to what the devil's saying, you know, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And if you're listening to what he's saying, it's going to be the opposite of growth in your life. It's going to be death, because that's what the devil brings. The devil's job is to stop you from growing and stop you from maturing and stop you from progressing into what God wants you to do. His job is to keep you from moving forward. And we have to recognize that whenever the devil's speaking to us. You know, we gotta know the voices that are speaking to us. And whenever we recognize that it is the devil's voice, we gotta learn just to say, shut up and leave me alone. Amen. And whenever you can finally get to that point where you say, shut up, leave me alone, then you can stop having the pity party. You can stop feeling sorry for yourself. And then you can start talking to God and start hearing from God and asking God, God, why am I not growing? Why am I not progressing? Why do I seem stagnant in my walk? You know, we need to grow, and we need to mature, and the church needs us to grow, and the church needs us to mature, and the church needs us to progress, because you don't want a church full of babies. Because if you have a church full of babies, you're going to have a lot of toy stealing and hair pulling and smelly diapers. But we need the mature and the growing adults in here to take care of these babies when they come in, to help those babies to grow and help those babies mature and progress to where God wants them to be. So I guess the question I have tonight is what is it that keeps us from growing? And what is it that keeps us from maturing? And I guess if you want to title this, then you can just title it, what is it that keeps us from growing? And I believe one of the questions that you could ask whenever you feel like this is what is it that I'm leaning on? What is it that's holding me up? You know, temporary things are just what they say. They're temporary. They're not meant to last, and they won't last. And if you're dependent on something that's temporary to hold you up and to support you, then you're going to eventually fall. And depending on how hard you were leaning on that thing is going to depend on how hard you fall. You know, if you look at young trees whenever they're growing, they have these temporary supports sometimes that they hold the trees up, that guide wires and everything that are holding the tree to help it to grow straight, help it to grow tall, and to give it strength. And whenever it's ready, they take those off, and the tree is good to go. But if the tree is completely relying on those temporary supports, when they come off, then the tree will fall. And if we're relying on those temporary things to hold us up, whenever they're removed, we're going to fall as well. If you're leaning heavily on people, then you're going to eventually fall. I mean, I know this is a deep revelation here, but people aren't perfect. And people will let you down. And people will cause you to fall if you let them. If you know me long enough, and if I know you long enough, eventually we're going to fail each other. I'm going to fail you, you're going to fail me. But just know that that we're not perfect, and then it's going to happen. And we just got to be ready for it and not lean so heavily on people and on temporary things to support us. Because a lot of times you don't even realize how heavily you're leaning on someone until it's yanked out from under you, and then you fall. You know, I've had this experience with relationships and friendships where, I mean, I didn't even realize how heavily I was leaning on these things until they were gone. And I fell hard. And whenever you fall hard, sometimes it's really hard to get back up and to get going again and just to get your bearing and start over. So, and I realized that I lean heavily on my wife too. And I guess I realize that more now that she has a job where she travels a lot. And whenever she travels, she's kind of yanked out from under me, and I have to take the burden of everything in the household. And I realize how much she does, and I don't handle it well sometimes, I know. But I'm working on it, and I'm getting better. So just pray for me there. I want to look at Ezra right now. Ezra chapter 8, 21 through 23. It's good water. Good water. And that what Stephen did that too, so Pastor Stephen. All right, Ezra 8, 21 through 23. It says, "Then I proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all of our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us again against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, 'The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him.' So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer." You can say that you trust in God, but whenever the going gets really tough, that's whenever your true colors come out and people can, and you can see what it is that you're really relying on. You know, you say you trust in God with your money and your provision, but whenever you run short on money, what do? Do you trust in God, or do you start running to everyone and asking them to let you borrow a dollar, or do you take that credit card out and know that whenever you swipe it, you don't have the money to back it? Or do you even take away from your tithe and say, I'll get it back later? These are just questions. I mean, But Ezra knew who supported him, and he didn't want the ungodly king to think otherwise. You know, he didn't want to lessen God by going and saying, you know, "I trust in God, but it would be nice if your army would lead us through, you know, because, you know, just to have that extra backing." No, he wanted to let that guy know that "I trust in God completely and totally, and we don't need you, because God's going to bring us through." And he did. Our help comes from the Lord. We've got to know where our help comes from. And we don't lean on our own understanding. We don't look everywhere for temporary help. And in all of our ways, we acknowledge God, and he directs our path. He's our support. He's what we lean on. And, you know, I don't believe that it's totally wrong to have people to lean on. You know, we need each other. I need you to pray for me, and you need to pray for, and I need to pray for you. We need to support each other, but it can't be such a support that if you move, I'm going to fall. You know, it needs to be a support that helps me along the way whenever I need it, whenever I need some support. Because if I start trusting completely and totally in you, you're not going to be there all the time. You're not going to be there whenever I need help sometime, and I'm going to fall. So we've got to know where our help comes from, and our help comes from the Lord. You know, growth and maturity doesn't really rely on temporary support, but on the firm and solid foundation of God, of our Lord. And you know, God doesn't want us to lean on Him. He wants us to be completely and totally supported by Him. Not just something we can lean on every once in a while. He wants to be our complete and total support, our permanent support. So a question that you can ask, what is it are you leaning on? Another question you might ask whenever you're wondering why I'm not growing, why I'm not maturing, why I'm not progressing. You can ask yourself, what is it that I'm doing? What am I doing? You know, to grow and to mature, you need a good perspective of what it is that you're doing, and you need to find relevance in what it is you're doing. If you have a narrow perspective of what you're doing, and you can't find what you're doing has any relevance to anything, then you can't grow, because you're always going to be frustrated thinking that what you do doesn't matter. You're always going to be unhappy because you think that you're not doing enough, or you're not doing what you want to do, and it's never going to be good enough for you because you can't see the big picture, because you have a narrow perspective of the task in front of you. You know, some people can take any task that you give them and find the motivation to do the very best they possibly can to make even the smallest and literally meaningless task, like, and they make it like it's the most important thing in the world, you know. And those are the people that God can use. Those are the people that God, that are growing. Those are the people that are maturing and progressing in the Lord. And then there's the people that you give them any task and they can make it as meaningless and useless and no matter what it is. And in the process, they're going to let everybody know just how meaningless and just how useless it is, you know. And this kind of goes back to the ought people, what I ought to be doing. You know, they get the mentality of, I can't believe that this is what they got me doing, because I ought to be doing that. You know, they don't know my calling, apparently, you know, and they don't know that I need a more important role here. You know, they just have no idea. But if you notice those people that have that mentality, they're usually the most miserable people that you would ever want to be around. Has anybody ever known anybody like that? If you said no, I'd like to introduce you to myself. But, you know, if you ever went out to, you know, everybody knows Jerry Nellen, right? Jerry Nellen, Jerry and Terry Nellen. You know, he's a bricklayer. If you ever went out to one of Jerry Nellen's job sites and, you know, you went over to the guys and you asked them, hey, what is it y'all doing over here? You know, you'd probably get different answers to everyone that you ask. You know, you may go to the first guy and say, hey, what are you doing over here? And he may be laying bricks and doing what everybody else is doing, but he says, I'm just trying to make the day and go home. You may ask somebody else, what are you doing? Well, I'm putting mud on this brick, and I'm sticking it on that brick. And I'm doing that over and over again. Those guys have a narrow perspective of what they're doing. And you may go to the next guy, and he may have just a little bit broader idea of what he's doing. He says, well, I'm building this wall for this building over here. You know, this wall is going to go up, and then it's going to be up for this building. But then you get over to Jerry, and you know Jerry's going to tell you how it is. And Jerry's going to tell you, you know, I'm building a church. I'm putting the bricks on this wall, and we're going to finish this church. People are going to come in. They're going to experience God. They're going to have life-changing experience. They're going to worship God. They're going to save souls. People are going to go out. People are going to come in. They're going to raise up churches. They're going to do all this. And, you know, Jerry's going to keep on going about it because he has a better perspective of it. He has God's perspective on what he's doing. He's found the relevance in the task in front of him. And whenever you find the relevance in the task you're doing, and whenever you have a broader perspective and you can see the bigger picture, you know, that changes your whole attitude and your whole outlook on what you're doing. And that can help you to grow and to mature and to become the God, the man of God that God wants you to be. You have to have a better perspective and a bigger perspective of what you're doing. The narrow-minded people are focused on what's in front of them. That's it. They can't see the big picture, and everything they see is just something they have to do, you know, get done. But the people that have that wider perspective, they can see the big picture, and they can make the smallest child seem like the most important one because they see it through God's eyes. They see it through God's eyes. And those are the people that are growing and maturing. We have to see things through God's perspective. And when we find that relevance, you know, in what we're doing, and we have to find our relevance in the body of Christ. You know, the body of the church needs all the members, right? And even every body part, even the smallest body part, they're all significant. Even if you're the middle toe, you're still a part of the body and you're still an important part of it. And you are relevant to the body. And that's why we all need to keep growing and keep maturing and keep progressing toward what God has called us to be. Amen. Another question you may ask whenever you're not growing, you know, you may ask yourself, you may ask God, you know, what's holding me back? What is it that's holding me back from doing what I ought to do or being what I ought to be? Why am I always going backwards? And I believe the main thing that holds us back is our sin. You know, most of the time, a lot of us, we try to manage our sin. But being a Christian is not about sin management. It's about freedom, it's about forgiveness, and it's about life transformation. You can't manage your sin. And it's like in 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish things. And at some point, we have to put away the childish things. And we have to grow, and we have to mature, and we have to progress into the people of God that He has called us to be. You know, if you're managing your sin, you think you have it under control. But you're just deceiving yourself, because as long as you think you have it under control, it's always there. It's always lurking around the corner, ready to stick its head up at the most inopportune times, which is always, okay? It's always going to be there. And it's not just a sin that holds us back, but what we allow that sin to hold us back. We allow that. And it's not just the sin, because we've all fallen short and we all sin. But we let that guilt of the sin hold us back. We start to disqualify ourselves. We start to penalize ourselves. And we get to thinking that, you know, I've messed up so bad that I've got to go back to the very beginning. I've got to become a baby again because I've just messed up so bad because of my sin. And that guilt and that shame starts to disqualify you. And it's hard to grow and mature whenever you're resetting yourself back to the beginning. You know, and that's not God. That's not what God does. He doesn't want to start you back at the beginning. That's a lie from the devil. God wants to pick you up. God wants to clean you off. And God wants to get you back right where you were. Keep on moving forward and don't go backwards. When we hold on to our guilt, we hold on to our shame, that's what moves us backwards. It's what we're moving ourselves backwards when God wants to move us forward. God doesn't want us to manage our sins. He wants us to be completely and totally free from our sins. But it's not even about just being free. But it's also about realizing that you are free. You know, whenever you ask God to forgive you, He sets you free right then and right there. But you have to realize that you're free, and you have to be able to walk out in that freedom. And that just takes me to an example Chris McCray had whenever he was here last time. You know, and I know I probably won't do it justice because, you know, if y'all listen to Chris is great. But a dog on a chain learns how far he can go, right? He knows his limits, and he knows the longer he's on that chain, the more he understands his limits, and the more that he's conformed to those limits. But one day, if that chain's broken, you know, that dog's free immediately, right? But if that chain's broken down the middle, and that chain's still around that dog's neck, that dog doesn't know he's free. He still thinks he's got the chain around the neck. He still thinks that he is held captive. He still thinks that he has those limits on him. He only thinks that he can go this far because he still has that chain around his neck. But if he ever has that step out, if he ever step out that one little bit, he'll start to realize that he is free. But since he's so used to that worn out area where the grass doesn't grow anymore, you know, he's used to that area and he knows what his limits are. And with that chain still around his neck, it's hard for him to step out. And the longer he stays within those limits, the better chance somebody comes along and says, "Hey, that dog, his chain's broke. I better fix it." So his chain is back on him and he's back into bondage. He's back caught. But if that chain's broken and the dog suddenly realizes that he can step out past that worn out place where the grass doesn't grow, if he takes that first step out and that second step out, that third step, pretty soon he's running away and he never goes back. Amen. You know? And that's the way God wants us to do. Whenever God sets us free, he wants us to step out beyond what has kept us down, where we've been bound. He wants to step out beyond that worn out place where the grass doesn't grow. You know? He wants us to run and not ever look back to that sin. And we have to get as far away as we can. So don't let the chains of sin hold you back anymore. Once you're free, step out in that freedom and keep on going and don't look back. But we have to grow and we have to mature and progress in the freedom that God's given us. You know, we need to grow and mature and progress in the giftings that God's given us. And we need to grow and mature and progress and produce the fruit that God has intended for us to do. Yeah. So in conclusion, you know, we have to see things from God's perspective. We have to look through God's eyes on the things that are going on around us. And we need to know the relevance that God's placed on the task in front of us. You know, we can't lean on things that are temporary. We can't lean heavily on the things that are temporary, and we've got to let God be that strong foundation that supports us and holds us up. And we can't let the guilt and we can't let the shame of sin hold us back anymore. We have to go and walk out in our freedom. So in closing, it's like I said at the beginning, you know, you can't really take my word for it. You have to prove out what you've heard tonight and what you hear from God. If God's speaking to you through anything that was said, you know, proof it out. Put God's word on it and make it your word, your word from God. And then ask God what it is he's saying to you. And then let God speak to you, that you know, the answers that he has for you, the solutions he has for you, the miracles that he has for you. So let's stand, let's pray. And like I said, if there's anything that God's spoken to you through this word, you know, just take a minute and ask God what it is he's saying to you. And ask God what it is that he's wanting from you and what you need to do. You know, just ask God for his direction over the situation. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you show up, God, whenever we're gathered together, Lord. God, we pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to see things through your perspective, through your eyes, God. Lord, know that what we're doing is relevant to you, God, and that you make us relevant, God. God, help us to lean not on the temporary, God, but Lord, help us to run under the support that you've given us, God. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be free from the guilt and the shame of sin and run in our freedom, God. And Lord, I just pray, God, that either through or in spite of me, God, that you've spoken your word tonight Lord, to those who are weary in season. And I just pray, God, that you accomplish whatever it is that you set out tonight, God. And Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.